Hello, hello, everyone. Happy Monday. It's time for the Security Token Show. I'm your host, Herwood Konings, joined by my business partner and co-host, as always, Kyle Sondland. How are you today?
Herwig, I am doing great. We are in mid-March now. We are fully in 2024. We've got months and months of news that has already happened, and yet we still have more to cover this week. We've got a fully chalked show today.
Like a huge show. But before we dive right in, I just want to let everybody know we are now less than 2 months away, almost 50 days away from Tokenize This, our premier summit happening in Miami this May 9th and 10th, and a workshop on the 11th. We've got a new promotion in case you can't afford to come down or want to lower your overall costs. We have a chance for you to win a free ticket. All you got to do is follow STO Market on Twitter and just retweet the daily tweet about the conference, and we'll be announcing winners every day. So there's your chance to win a free ticket. So go follow STO Market on Twitter. And with that, Kyle, you ready? Shall we dive in?
Let's go.
And we've got our market movements to kick things off. What's happening in the industry, specifically the latest offerings, what's happening on the secondary market, and anything you should know about active tokens. Kicking things off here with Hacken, folks, which I actually think they're hopefully starting a trend that we've seen a few others take advantage of. But now with RWAs becoming a mainstream concept in crypto, I really hope takes hold. What they're doing is they're taking their old governance tokens that they issued in the past. This allows you to operate with their ecosystem and platform. In this case, they're going to allow you to take those tokens and exchange those HAI tokens, HAI, for HES, which is, instead of governance tokens, you're trading them in for equity. Within this smart contract auditing firm, they've done thousands of smart contracts based on actually all of this public information being out there. We know that the HAI tokens trade roughly around 70 or 80 cents but around the time of this recording, which would mean that if they're saying we've got 100 million HAI exchange rate for 10% of the company, well, that would probably roughly put the company worth $80 million, which is very interesting because this is a market valuation signal from the crypto price trading into the equity. Which is something I don't think any other company has ever seen before. It's usually comparables. It's usually based on, you know, certain rhetoric. In this case, we can use the market trading price of the governance token and the exchange rate into the equity as to how much the company is worth. It's worth mentioning, guys, that they say 87% of the acquired HAI token will be burned. And the tokens are actually available on Ethereum, BNB Smart Chain, and VeChain. This is stuff I like to see, guys. Crypto communities need to take ownership of the fact that their current coins are overvalued in most cases and mostly useless in a lot of cases. And that can all change by converting simply to an equity token. What do you guys think?
This is fascinating. We did a main topic on rescissions and reissuances like, what, 3 years ago, maybe more?
Maybe more.
And I think that you and I kind of hit the nail on the head with respect to what this type of system looks like. Governance just doesn't have a price anchor in most cases for these tokens. Backing it to real assets, real ownership makes total sense, not only for the issuer, but also I think a lot of the investors were probably expecting something like this with their investment or their initial purchase. So I don't think it makes total sense, but it's also just something that it's funny. We've been kind of on this beat for a few years now. And I can go into my news here, which is the fact that Dusk Network, which, talking about throwbacks, we've covered Dusk from years and years ago. They've been active in the industry through, you know, a lot of different, I think, crypto style of projects, but they were trying to focus on building security token infrastructure, which we always wanted to highlight and give them credit for. it does seem like they're back after what seems like maybe an 18 to 24 month hiatus. Dusk has partnered with NPEX to launch Europe's first blockchain powered securities exchange for trading tokenized regulated assets. So NPEX is a licensed exchange in the Netherlands. And so this partnership is an advancement in pushing that together. Dusk is going to be doing a lot of the on-chain infrastructure here by building some of that blockchain systems while NPEX provides that compliance level. Dusk also has zero knowledge cryptography and a lot of the privacy side of this. So it'll be interesting to see how that layers in because, of course, these are securities. So you can't have a permissionless system, but maybe they're operating some sort of whitelist like we've seen in the Swiss jurisdiction. Perhaps in Netherlands, there's a similar level of availability. And they are launching their mainnet as well for the entire blockchain. So presumably NPEX is going to be one of those initial platforms that they launch with. So shout out to NPEX and Dusk for getting into the game.
I will say that they are probably not the first blockchain powered. I'm not so sure for that being the case in Europe, but it is great to see this Dutch company finally make such a major, you know, partner. It's a big deal when you can fix that component of liquidity, right? It's one thing to build a blockchain or a tokenization platform. It's another to then provide those financial services, those clearing and settlement, those, you know, finding buyers and sellers services. And that usually requires a great partner like NPEX. So looking forward to seeing what comes out of this.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, great to see again, legacy systems come on chain and, you know, diving into this, especially anyone that's public facing. Interesting that you bring up zero knowledge, Kyle, just because we've seen that come up in the headlines a little bit more lately with Singularity and Zero Hash and a couple others. So curious to see what that component will look like for this exchange. Moving on to another piece of news, guys, we have Sony Bank. They will be launching a green security token alongside a NFT through Securitize for Japanese investors. So Sony Bank is the online bank, an indirect subsidiary of Sony Group, Sony being the, you know, the brand that we're all familiar with. The first headline is that they are launching an app called Connect for NFTs and other Web3 entertainment rewards that will be linked to their financial services coming this summer. But the more relevant news to the show is that US dollar green finance security token, again, targeted towards those Japanese customers. So they are raising around $1 million, not a huge raise, but nonetheless, great to see the concept, a minimum of $1,000 investment. And those investors who buy the security token will also receive an NFT if they invest and respond to a survey, probably related to, you know, their feeling towards this, you know, green security token. The idea is that Securitize will be the issuance platform, and this whole structure will be based around a trust created by Sumitomo Mitsui Trust Bank, or Sumi Trust. And the trust, the purpose of it is to invest into green projects relating to climate change, water, biodiversity, and of course, other green bonds.
Nice. Nice. Love to see it. Green, the green movement is definitely big in Japan, as we see it across the world, it looks like. But again, you know, I'm just loving seeing the Japanese ecosystem come together so quickly. Over the last few years, they organized themselves. They put all the pieces together. The investment banks teamed up. And now, really, as of the start of December's trading of the Osaka Digital Exchange, we've seen the full ecosystem come together, and now we're seeing nothing but new offerings coming from Sony. That's also a big deal. Does anybody here remember Proppy? This is another one of those pioneers out of the 2018 days, right?
Yeah, one of the conferences, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We also, they had a conference here in Miami a few years ago. For those who don't know them, Proppy, it's focused on property, tokenization of real estate. And they, over the last 5-6 years, you know, that we've also seen this industry, I'm sure they're all too familiar with the regulatory constraints that SPVs bring. And unlike Realty, who, you know, takes advantage of actually international investors tapping into some of the foreign regulation, Property has been commendable to focus on the U.S., both for the properties as well as to support U.S. investors. Now, unfortunately, that also means due to this sort of slow adoption in the industry, as well as these constraints, we haven't seen too many transactions. We've seen a few go down. Of course, they're limited to accredited investors, which makes them even more difficult to occur. And it's hard to blame them for that, given the industry and all these nuances, especially also given the fact that there's this huge battle between title and tokenization via SPV. Obviously, if you can tokenize the title, there's a lot of use cases and benefits. But as we all know, and as we've talked about in the past, getting county, state, and federal registrars for title is going to be very difficult and going to take some time for them to conform. I've actually seen it happening. I believe the folks from Balcony DAO are also working with Bergen County in New Jersey to do exactly that. But these things are going to take time and they're going to be slow. So I think this is the reason for Proppy's new staking program to incentivize people to tokenize their deeds. They're actually starting in sort of three phases. The first phase is anybody can go and essentially just create an NFT, mint an NFT for any address. They even encourage you to go grab the NFT for a, you know, famous marquee asset or landmark. However, we all know that that is not true tokenization. It is just an NFT representing an address that is not tied to a deed, which is where phase two comes in. That obviously enables you more earn from which they give you pro tokens, their Proppy token that they launched in 2018. And in phase two, you actually do attach that deed to the NFT in some sort of process that they have, which they say encourages with security, with any kind of fraud, with title, et cetera. But it doesn't give you that RWA component, that true SPV benefit, which is what they say is tier three, which gives you even more. It's like 1, 10, and 200 staking power or something like that. Go check out the numbers. But that's their way of saying, well, now you've got the deed in an NFT. Let's go ahead and put that into an SPV and give you an NFT for that SPV so that you can now borrow, transact, et cetera, which is their true vision of why you want to tokenize property in the first place. And I think this is all really great. It's a great new incentive mechanism. You know, again, the 1800 addresses that they promote that have already been minted, I would imagine are mostly these NFT addresses, not the actual deeds being tokenized. And Kyle, I know you and I have talked about this quite a bit, but I obviously have an irk with the fact that the end result is an SPV with a singular share that is tokenized into an NFT. Liquidity is, of course, begetted from buyers and sellers. And the more you have, the more chance you have deeper liquidity. So by concentrating everything into this like home-like process sale where it's one-to-one, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me because you're not really truly maximizing the efficiencies. To end my diatribe, I will say maybe sometimes you got to slow things down in order to create this adoption. So maybe they're actually doing a very important step. But I hope in the end that we're going to see tokenized properties more like realty and many other use cases where you've got multiple owners being able to receive yield or trade the equity or borrow against it.
Makes total sense. Proppy has been super active here in South Florida. So shout out to the team here and their representatives for doing what they can to drive technological innovation to the real estate space. But I think that your points are also very fair, Herwig. So, you know, it's one of those things. Everybody's trying to attack it from a bunch of different directions. And at the end of the day, as long as we're all aligned and trying to move it forward, I think it's a benefit. But this is only the first step.
We're still big fans, Kyle. We support all tokenization, so I wish their program much success.
Totally right. And moving into my next piece of news here, gentlemen, we've got Capital System Investments. There's some language there, but I'm not even going to try. Capital System Investments has arranged the first bond issuance on the blockchain for the publicly traded French computer manufacturer MetaVisio. So, of course, I'm just reading the byline there, the first bond issuance. That's probably not true, but at least maybe in France, this could make an argument for it. But at the very least, shout out to MetaVisio for supporting the initiative. The bond is on Polygon through Obligate's platform. And it does fund MetaVisio's expansion into the Indian market. The bond issuance is a truly tokenized offering, which I think is exciting. This is a private corporate debt offering. So this isn't just a large institutional bank that's doing a testnet. No, this is a real company that's launching a corporate bond, which is great to see. And so the bond actually has been rated by Credora, who we've talked about before, and the funds are converted from stablecoin USDC into USD through a regulated French company called Atlantis flow. So they are using stable coins to manage this distribution and manage the payments. Then they're converting those things into fiat. So it does seem like they're really taking the steps to do this the right way. And great to see MetaVizio for supporting the initiative and driving innovation.
Hey, I love to see that. You know, it may not or may be the first publicly traded company in Europe, but I know it's probably obligates first, which goes to show you that they can do both private and public equities, which is really great. And I got to say, my company of the week, Credora, last week, I told you so. They're going to start rating security tokens. And here you go, a week later, I believe this might be their first one or one of their first ones. So that's really cool to see. And that's the market movement, everybody. Let's head on over to the Token Debrief to get all the latest industry news. Well, we've got a lot of headlines, so let's just get right to it, folks. I'm going to start off with a few here that are more like opinionated, just because I thought they were so interesting. Starting with India's SEC equivalent, the SEBI, the CB, I don't know, says the investor will, they actually claim that they think that investors will move to crypto if traditional markets don't adopt tokenization due to the instant settlement capability. So word for word, I'll just quote them. If our well-regulated market cannot compete with the crypto world and cannot say we also offer you tokenization and instantaneous settlement over the medium term, I won't even say long term, you should expect investors to move. This is coming from the chairperson, the equivalent of Gary Gensler over in India. So I love this take. I think he's right, although that's maybe less right here in the United States, given that we have a much stronger capital markets. So our slow move towards faster settlement cycles is going to be without tokenization. We already talked about this. The DTCC said that the T+1 settlement requirement due in May this year will not be powered by tokenization. It's too soon for that. But when it comes to T+0, we know it'll be outright inevitable. So that's music to my ears, just like I heard from the FDIC vice chair. So we hear it from a U.S. government body as well, and they're calling for tokenization and crypto regulation clarity. So this is the vice chair, Travis Hill, and I'll quote him again here saying, we already see a powerful example of how tokenization is beginning to deliver tangible benefits, such as the introduction of intraday repo, and dramatic increases in settlement times for multi-currency bond issuances. And while the existing use cases have focused on institutional customers, in the future, the benefits could expand to retail. To give one example, programmability may be able to simplify the home buying process by eliminating the need to place funds in escrow prior to closing. And he also acknowledges regulators saying, quote, I appreciate the need for regulators to be deliberative with careful in approaching these issues, but we should do our homework and make sure we understand the implications of new technologies that can reshape banking. And I recognize the value in being cautious regarding the extent to which the FDIC insured banking system engages with the crypto economy, end quote. So there are some significant, he also says, actually I wanted to mention here on the show, there are significant downsides to the FDIC's current approach, which has contributed to a general public perception that the FDIC is closed for business if institutions are interested in anything related to blockchain or DLT. The confidential nature of the existing processes means there is little public information on what types of activities the FDIC might be open to, if any. Guys, I've said enough. What are your actions?
Jason, what you got?
Yeah, man, there's a lot to unpack here, right? I think the biggest takeaway, of course, is to your point, Herwig, especially in the US, why it's so hard to implement tokenization across the board is the fact that you have so many legacy systems. You have so many things that in the capital markets, chain, if you will, of, you know, what tokenization blockchain can empower, right? So you're trying to get different parties to come on board, not to mention whether it's one blockchain or another, how you're going to get interoperability going. So to India's point, you know, maybe the infrastructure there's a little easier to implement, hence why they can maybe demand a little faster adoption of this technology, whereas here it's a little more difficult. But we also see, you know, global participants that do have a hand across different jurisdictions of exploring this, and hopefully they can try to bridge that gap to bring or speed up everyone's adoption. but lots of great things. I'd love to see regulators and, you know, big names that, you know, have influence also speak on tokenization. I think this is something that we've been waiting for a long time, for them to at least acknowledge this space. And now we're also seeing tangible results that can also back, you know, our argument for why tokenization is so important to capital markets.
Yeah. Makes total sense. I like that take.
Without a doubt, I think it's safe to say now that the global regulators and influencers on monetary policy, and even many regulators and legislators, et cetera, they've all come out at this point endorsing tokenization, drawing a clear distinction between crypto and the tokenization technology. So that's only going to be positive when it comes to actually getting the right rulemaking and the right, you know, safeguards in place for this to take off. But I do think it's an interesting point about what India is making. And I certainly think Wall Street would pay attention if suddenly everybody starts to head towards the crypto markets. And there's a possible reason why we've already seen such success and growth there, because you don't have to take our word for it when we say this is the future. How about you take the derivative sector's word instead? So I'm talking about the Coalition by Greenwich for the Futures Industry Association, the FIA, which did a survey and found that overall, the survey respondents favored collateral management over generative artificial intelligence technology. What does that mean? It means they would rather have tokenization for collateral management than they would have generative AI for functionality within the derivatives sector, folks. That is a pretty big deal given how hyped up AI is right now. And I, of course, agree. Collateral management is so huge. It is massive. It is a massive function in finance. The collateral markets are huge. And they are also extremely archaic. And so, of course, tokenization with the instant settlements, the automated functions to execute regarding collateral, et cetera, all of that's going to be a game changer. But I will also credit AI. I think AI is going to be massive. It's just AI is pretty useless to finance until, think about it, you have a blockchain that enables transfer of value in a safe method that AI can actually use as a system to make financial transactions. They couldn't do it in the current system where you're limited by human interactions, which is what a lot of these markets are powered by today. Really cool to see that this is something that the derivative sectors is embracing. And that's it for the latest opinions. The old guard, there was a BIS study. I don't want to spend too much time on it. They basically said, hey, Bank of International Settlements believe that crypto behavior is something to study for tokenization behavior. I think that's kind of captain obvious. Like, yes, a lot of the innovation and technology that comes for tokenization was originally created in DeFi, like decentralized automated market makers and lending protocols and such. So yes, we're going to learn a lot from DeFi. Thank you for that, BIS. Guys, what do you think about these opinions that I just mentioned?
Yeah, you really laid a lot on us there. Great to see that we continue to drive research into this industry. You've got multiple surveys going on. You've got studies that are happening. This is just how it works in the traditional world. They like to really take their time and make sure they're measured in the decisions that they make. And so I think that those things are just due process. So it's good to see that at least those things are occurring. But this is probably one of those pain points that innovators in the industry feel can be frustrating about the space, because it doesn't necessarily move at the move fast and break things timeline that traditional startups and venture would expect. So that's I think my high level take.
I think crypto takes that to a whole nother level, that phrase, but completely right. But that's enough opinions, Kyle. Tell us about the announcements happening in the space.
Sure. Yeah. So let's kick it off with iXSwap, friend of the show. They have launched their on-chain tokenized portfolios, which is basically a tokenized structure that allows you to invest alongside what they call key opinion leaders, KOLs. And so these on-chain tokenized products, here's another jargon for you, OTPs. These OTPs will allow KOLs to create tokenized portfolios of these digital assets, and then you can invest alongside it. So basically just a follow-on fund, but for an individual or for an influencer in the industry. We'll see the compliance side around that. If you're not an RIA, maybe in the US, there's, I don't know, but shout out to iXSwap. They are not based in the US. The initiative does aim to bridge that gap between traditional finance and crypto by creating these opportunities for people to not have to, quote, DYOR or do your own research, and instead just kind of FOMO into someone that you trust or think has good takes in the industry. So they are building these products on the blockchain. So I guess that will provide real programmatic transparency into the positions that these KOLs actually hold, which I guess makes sense. That way you don't just have somebody shilling something and then dumping on their community. You can really see exactly what their position, which this actually reminds me of the Ian Bellina thing from way back in the day. Another, you know, we've worked with him in the past. Shout out to Ian, but he had a full transparent portfolio and really built his brand behind that. So I guess iXSwap building something similar and looking to do it in the Web3 space. So it's a pretty cool idea. It's interesting to see how it will catch on. I don't know, Herwig, if you're going to be launching a KOL, but I would certainly match that one.
Super novel idea. Maybe I will in the future. All I know, Kyle, is there's enough acronyms in this announcement that crypto is going to be all over this.
I even messed it up there. You'd be launching the OTP. That's as right. A KOL.
I am the KOL.
Well, regardless, I can't wait to track that STO. So,
or NKOL, the not key.
Well, from leader. These KOLs, iXSwap, you get the thumbs up. And into the next piece of announcements that I have here, we've got Zonix, Zoniqx, which is an interesting spelling there, and StegX, Stegx, are building a partnership to bring real estate tokenization to the masses. The goal here is to bring Zonix tokenization expertise with StegX's global real estate marketplace. Apologies for kind of slowing that down. I just don't want to mispronounce these names, and it's a lot of consonants in a row. But the opportunity here is that they're using ERC-7518, which is a protocol that they've been able to build that's compliant and interoperable, and it's built on the Ethereum blockchain. So it is EVM compatible across many of the other blockchain solutions we see on the market. And their focus is actually going to start in Germany and the European markets. So they are going to be in Europe. So another global opportunity here. We do see Germany being a decent hotspot for tokenization. And we have seen some real estate coming from that market. And so shout out to Zonix and StegX for doing this together. And I'm excited to see them actually launch a product. This was really just a partnership announcement, but still cool to see.
Real gentlemen, quick, for anyone
oh, Jason, go ahead.
No, I was just going to clarify for anyone that's not aware or, you know, just understands Zonix. It's actually a rebrand of Tassets, who's an infrastructure provider. So just if great you do know the Tassets name and the team there, that's who Zonix is now. So just want to clarify that for the audience.
And I believe Tassets was a rebrand from Realto. So this is their third new name. Very nice.
Third time's the charm.
Well, if nothing else, the Web3 space is known for their futuristic branding, let's call it. And into the next and final piece of announcements that I have here for the show, gentlemen, is DigiClear. DigiClear is the first central securities depository that has joined Polymesh. So they are launching a node on the Polymesh blockchain. DigiClear is owned by Tokenize, T-O-K-E-N-I-S-E. And they have been working with Polymesh to be a node operator, which means that they're doing a lot of the underlying validation of the transactions that are going on inside of the blockchain. So this is really data management. This is really an authoritative perspective with respect to this. They also may be launching tokenized products on the Polymesh blockchain, which allows them to have that governance control as well by contributing directly to the network. And so they also are being represented, or they're working with the Tokenize Stock Exchange, which Tokenize owns DigiClear. And so they are going to be doing a lot of tokenization through there. We've met with the Tokenize team here in Miami from a few years ago, and we've covered them here on the show before. So they are a regulated brokerage, stock exchange, and central securities depository. So they do have a lot of the regulations and the licenses. And as we know with Polymesh, they provide a lot of the technology, but they don't want a whole lot to do with the compliance. So this does seem like it's a good partnership, and I'm excited to see them bring some products to market.
Real interesting. Good win for Polymesh, who we've seen in the news a bit more recently as of late. You know, the only other CSC that I'm aware of that's, you know, playing with on-chain assets is SDX, but they're closer with R3 Corda. So again, like I said, a win for Polymesh on the CSD side. My news is going to be transferring a little bit more into the institutional realm, which we're starting with the Canton Network, completing the first blockchain pilot featuring 150 institutions, guys. Lots of people going on here. So we have 45 major organizations that demonstrated settlement across 22 permission blockchains, or there's more specifically calling them dApps or decentralized apps. Connected all through Canton, which is powered by Digital Asset. So to break down some of those participants, we have 15 asset managers, 13 banks, 4 custodians, 3 exchanges, and 1 financial market infrastructure provider participating in the simulated transactions or demos. And then we have 22 dApps, including 5 fund registries, 5 cash registries, 3 bond registries, 3 trading, 4 margin, and 2 financing apps. I know that's a lot of numbers, but just wanted to give an idea of the kinds of, you know, pieces to the puzzle of capital markets that are involved here. So over 350 simulated transactions happened on this pilot, guys. And so what's interesting to see here is, you know, some of the benefits that they're deducing, which to no surprise, of course, comes with reduced counterparty risk, settlement risk, optimized capital, and intraday margin cycles. And so, yeah, you know, in my opinion, it's starting to look like DAML, that language, right, through digital asset will become the standard across institutional infrastructure, considering just how many people are involved on this pilot. You know, some of the big names that, you know, stood out were Broadridge, DRW, Goldman Sachs, Northern Trust, let's see, the DTCC, SIBO, Standard Chartered, Wellington Management, BNY Mellon, and a whole lot more. But even speaking of BNY Mellon, guys, another announcement on the institutional realm is we have a personnel update. We have BNY Mellon's head of tokenization, Benjamin Duve, if I'm mispronouncing that. He has announced that he was leaving the bank, and just last week he revealed that he's joining the central, European Central Bank, ECB, yeah. And sorry, just lost my notes here. But essentially, it's a really interesting timing here, guys, considering the two blockchain initiatives around tokenization that are happening on right now in that area, which one is the DLT pilot regime that we covered just last week with Deloitte Spain. And the other one is around wholesale CBDCs. So cool timing for him. I know that on the DLT pilot regime, one of the big debates was whether or not it's suited for large institutions. Benjamin is known to, you know, be on the side of, you know, maybe not, but I'm curious to see what he'll be doing on ECB's side, you know, with this environment. But any thoughts on those two pieces of news, guys?
Big time, big time. Canton Network, we've had our eye on for a while, knowing that they've got so many great people involved, specifically through the ringleader, Digital Asset. You know, I think that's also great news to see just, you know, there's so few people who understand traditional finance, public markets, blockchain, compliance, and all these other pieces. So Benjamin Duve, or however you say it, he's definitely an expert. And it's great to see someone like that join the European Central Bank. No doubt he will steer them in the right direction. With that, guys, I'm just going to end it on some investments here. We saw specifically the RWA company Vesta Equity saw a public Canadian company called Spirit Blockchain Capital. Don't confuse that with BCAP or the original blockchain capital. But they claimed and announced, I'm assuming per compliance rules, announced that they invested roughly $170,000, a little bit more than that, for 2%. Of the company. And in turn, Spirit Capital also issued over 2 million common shares to Vesta Equity. That's actually a pretty interesting move. It really aligns the two companies. And Vesta Equity is tokenizing residential real estate specifically to enable homeowners to take advantage of tokenizing their equity and selling that off for cash, as opposed to relying on the traditional means, which is really like a HELOC, a home equity line of credit, or getting another mortgage, or selling your property outright, which for many people is not something they want to do. So Vesta Equity hopes to tap into this new trend to enable homeowners to tokenize in order to sell equity for much needed cash without necessarily giving up their home or their right to live in it. Always glad to see, you know, more players getting funding, which is why I think Clear Token is more big news. They raised over $10 million specifically from Nomura's Laser Digital. Nomura is a major investment bank out of Japan. Laser Digital is their tokenization arm, but they also had liquidity providers like Flow Traders and GSR, which are both very big, as well as some digital asset firms, LMAX Digital and Zodia Custody, we've covered on the past on the show. So Clear Token, they provide clearing and settlement infrastructure for institutions to support crypto and tokenization. So that makes no surprise why you see a lot of these institutional players investing. And I think a great sign of life that there is interest once again in investing into infrastructure for tokenization.
Shout out to them for making it happen. And I think that, you know, it's a small little investment, but great to see activity in the industry and you know, shout out to Spirit Blockchain Capital.
Yeah. All right. Well, with that, folks, that is the Token Debrief. We've got one more segment. Don't go anywhere. It's time for Companies of the Week.
Oof. What?
That is a hefty set of news. I expect probably the same thing again next week, but that makes our job harder, Kyle, because this segment, we have to pick one of those companies that we thought made the biggest move, the biggest highlight in the space, and they get a chance to win Company of the Year as a result. So there's only one winner each week from one of each of us. Kyle, who's yours this week?
Well, Herwig, I think that my winner of the week is actually the last company mentioned in the entire show, which is Clear Token. They raised over $10 million from institutional investors, as you mentioned. And I think that bringing on Nomura, GSR, and some of these other firms is a pretty big sign of great traction. These are awesome partners to work with who have done tokenized offerings in the past. They have experience here, and $10 million is quite a funding round in a market where not that many companies have been super successful in raising big rounds. So they have a war chest now to work with. They've got great corporate partners to work with. And because of their relevance in the market, there's less, that money may actually go further than if you had a dozen companies that also had $10 million. So they have a lot of power in the space right now. For all those reasons, I think that Clear Token gets my Company of the Week.
It's a great choice, Kyle. I expect them to be sort of one of these behind the scenes players that ends up powering a lot when you don't even realize it. So at $10 million is no easy feat, let alone from big institutions, like you said. So it's a great choice.
How about you, man?
Well, you know, again, a lot to pick from. But this week, if I had to just single out one thing that I think is going to get the most attention and get people talking, I think I just got to give it to Canton Network. They claim this was the most comprehensive, largest RWA pilot in the world, and they might be correct. 45, you know, specific organizations, all those asset managers, banks, global custodians, exchanges, and FMI, as well as 22 application operators running different sovereign applications, as they say, 33 node operators, 300 plus transactions. Very curious to see what those are. You can get a report from them if you submit. Haven't seen mine yet, but you know, Aberdeen, you know, BNY Mellon, BNP, Goldman Sachs, as well as DTCC and DRW and Commerce Bank and Northern Trust and Microsoft and Nomura and Broadridge, CBOE. I mean, this list goes on with the people involved. Be very curious to see just exactly what they're all working on. Of course, maybe that report will let us learn more. But at the end of the day, even if it's just, you know, a small start, it's going to lead to something very big. And I got to give a shout out to Digital Asset once again, who's sort of been the ringleader behind all of this. So congratulations to the Canton Network for winning my Company of the Week. I expect and hope for you to win it again this year when you do even bigger launches with your partners.
The word on the street is that they are the Canton consistency because of how many announcements they have coming out, how many amazing companies that they drive towards all of their innovation. And so this is a great winner. I think we've probably covered them on 50% of the shows over the last 18 months because of the amazing things that they've got going on.
Did you just coin that, the Canton consistency, right here on the show? On the
spot? You heard it here first.
You heard it here first. I think it's a great place to end, Kyle. Of course, everybody, go check out stm.co while you're waiting for this next episode to come out again on Mondays. We've got all the latest trading information. We've got a new feature. Check out these charts. Check out some of these dashboard information that we now have on the homepage. We've separated between equities and debt. So you got your assets now. You can easily go to check what's trading, what the price is. We've, of course, got our research platform, Security Token Prime. You can sign up for that at securitytokenprime.com. And of course, we appreciate any love, any support, anything you can do to share and get the word out for this show. We appreciate your ever support every single week. Kyle, anything you want to end on?
Hey, I'm just happy to be here. Thanks everybody for tuning in. We're almost at 5 years. Like, we're really only a couple months away. So my excitement for this industry hasn't waned, and excited for 5 to 10 more.
Well, for almost 5 years running, Kyle, happy tokenizing.